This is Green Under Pressure, and I'm Susan DiGiulio. If you've been to the ocean, you've driven by salt marshes or seagrass meadows. These unique saltwater plant communities might not be flashy, and some can even smell a little funky, but they have a critical role as a home to terrestrial and underwater wildlife. And they're immensely valuable in grabbing carbon out of the air and pulling it into the earth below the water. In fact, these plant communities can sequester as much as 5 times the carbon as the same area of tropical forest. So they play a huge role in mitigating climate change. Scientists refer to these ecosystems on the ocean's edge as blue carbon. We asked Emily Pidgeon, the senior director of the Blue Carbon Program at Conservation International and chair of the Blue Carbon Initiative, to explain more.
When we talk about blue carbon ecosystems, we're talking about these three coastal wetland systems. So tidal salt marshes are the tidal marshes, tidal flats that we see often in higher latitude areas. So they're up and down the California coast. There's lots and lots of tidal marshes across the southern Gulf Coast of the U.S. through Louisiana and then up into Chesapeake Bay. There's lots of salt marshes in Australia where I grew up around the coast of Sydney. And they're on all of these sort of mid-latitude areas. Mangroves are similar marsh areas, but they are covered in these amazing trees that can live in salt water. There are about 70 different species of mangrove tree, and they form these amazing forests, if you like, that live in the ocean water along the coasts throughout the tropics.
And then there are seagrasses.
Seagrasses really are the most amazing ecosystems. Seagrass is really just like grass that grows in your garden, but it's a plant that has adapted to live purely in salt water. And so seagrasses are on every continent except for Antarctica, along all of the coastlines, and form lawns and seagrass meadows, much the same as grasses that we see on land, except for they live underwater. And what's so special about these wetland ecosystems is that they have carbon in the plants, much like the carbon that we saw in the forests that we all know and understand. But the reason why they get more carbon in them than the terrestrial forests is they're also building up carbon in the soil below them. So if you wander through that salt marsh or trod through a dense mangrove forest, that sticky black mud that ends up sticking to your feet, that's carbon-rich soil that those plants have been accumulating for millennia. There's oftentimes you'll have hundreds, if not thousands of years of layer after layer of carbon-rich soil below you that they are keeping locked up below them. And so those ecosystems that are just on the coastlines of all of the continents trap and enormous amounts of carbon in their plants, but also in the soils below them.
These ecosystems are home of some of the most fabled animal species on the planet. Mangroves in Bangladesh support tigers and monkeys. Florida manatees live and graze on seagrass. But more importantly, they are the sheltered homes of many species near the base of the marine food chain, like crabs and shrimp, and the nursery for a much wider range of fish, including many that we eat. These ecosystems are being destroyed at an alarming rate around the globe. Between 8.5 and 10 million acres have been lost since 1980, and it isn't only the species that rely on them that suffer, with reverberations throughout the food chain right up to us.
When we destroy a mangrove or a seagrass or a tidal marsh, all of that carbon that is locked up in that special ecosystem gets released into either the ocean or the atmosphere. And so you turn an ecosystem that was once an amazing machine at taking carbon out of the atmosphere and you turn it into a source of greenhouse gas emissions. It goes from being something that was saving us from climate change to something that was causing climate change.
In the U.S. and other developed countries, many of these ecologically critical blue carbon areas have been ripped out for real estate development. But Emily says that's not the only or the biggest threat.
Many of the places I work in Southeast Asia, there's aquaculture, so shrimp farming, and palm oil are causing massive destruction of mangroves. We see here in North America and in parts of Brazil that the coastal wetlands are being lost and drained for agriculture. In Brazil, a lot of the beef that we get imported from Brazil here is on drained mangrove areas. And then seagrasses are very susceptible to water quality. They're a plant that lives underwater, and so like every other plant, they need light to grow. And so if the water becomes very polluted, and so hence the light can't get through to the seagrass, you find the seagrass dies off and is no longer able to hold all that carbon-rich soil down and protect it from being released into the water in the atmosphere.
You can find out more about blue carbon and Dr. Emily Pidgeon at conservation.org or check out the natural sciences page at unesco.org. This is Green Under Pressure, a Flatlands Avenue production, and I'm Susan DiGiulio. Find our reports and news briefs on Progressive Voices, iTunes, and Spreaker. We encourage your feedback on our podcast feeds, on Facebook, and at Green_Pressure on Twitter.